Well, my next guest is a highly acclaimed public speaker, consultant, and author, among many other endeavors, and one of her signature passions is what she characterizes as, quote, getting back to the truth on food, unquote. Well, she has a new book out. It's called Food Truths from Farm to Table, 25 Surprising Ways to Shop and Eat Without Guilt. She is Michelle Payne, founder and president of Cause Matters, a very proud Spartan, and in the spirit of full disclosure, a longtime friend and colleague. Michelle, congratulations on the book and welcome back to the program.
Well, thanks, Kirk. It's great to be here. I always love talking to folks in Michigan.
Yeah, I know. I'm Michigan born and bred.
Exactly, and a very proud Spartan, as you said.
Your organization, before we're going to get to the book here for the balance of the interview, but your business is Cause Matters. That's an interesting name for a business, but how did you derive that title for your business?
Well, I've actually been in business for 16 years now, and basically, as you know from looking at the book, I have a quote hanging in my office that says, a life without cause is a life without effect, and I have never been able to find the author to attribute that to, but it's really a driving passion of mine. And so Cause Matters was named because I happen to believe deeply in that the cause of connecting farm and food matters a great deal. And as I work with my clients on a consulting basis, I try to get them to help others understand why their cause matters. So thus, the cause matters.
Well, in one way that you're helping, and then we'll turn to the, you have authored your second book. Why did you decide to write Food Truths from Farm to Table? And how does it build on No More Food Fights, your earlier book?
I wrote Food Truths from Farm to Table because I really saw a huge disconnect throughout the course of my career, from my time as an undergraduate at Michigan State to current day. I saw a disconnect in reality of what's happening in the way farm is being produced and marketing mistruth. I saw a disconnect between farmers and dietitians and other experts. And I saw a disconnect between reality and facades around food. And so when I wrote the first book, No More Food Fights, I actually had the idea for the second book come to me at the very end. But because of a number of life circumstances and also because of the energy that it takes to write a book, it took me 4 years to get Food Truths from Farm to Table done. But basically, it is designed to serve as a guide to the grocery store to reduce guilt and overcome confusion around food.
In terms of, you refer to people who may feel guilt when they're buying certain foods or when they're going shopping and you're targeting. What percentage, roughly, what does your research tell you? How many Americans actually feel the emotions that you're concerned with?
Well, there's a number of studies out there that you can look at, but I guess to me what probably meant the most was my anecdotal research, sitting around kitchen tables with wealthy moms, with suburbia moms, with people that are not on a farm, and hearing from them that they just want to feel good when they go to the grocery store to buy their food. When they buy and serve and prepare food, they want to feel like they are making the right decision for their family. And as a mom, I can relate to that. I mean, who does not want to take proper care of their children? And so when you look at guilt and confusion, guilt is definitely a female emotion, but confusion seems to reign supreme around food these days because there's so many claims, from absence label claims such as hormone-free, which is a complete falsehood because all food has hormones in it, to studies that show that 80% of Americans, according to Oklahoma State University, think that food should be labeled if it has DNA in it. And, of course, if you know the biology of living organisms, you know that all food has DNA in it, and just as all food has hormones in it. And so it's some of those that really points to the confusion, as well as the fact that only 1.5% of our population today is on a farm or ranch. Two-thirds lives in the city or suburban areas. And there's a disconnect because, quite frankly, agriculture has not done a great job about talking how we raise food.
No question. You have the 25, and we don't want to give away all 25 food truths or people won't buy the book, but I want to hit a couple. You just covered one, but one that's sort of near and dear to you, I know, and one that I learned in my years at Michigan State. Number three, animal welfare is an hourly concern on farms and ranches.
Absolutely, and because of the fact that I have dairy cattle, as you well know, Kirk, and when you look at the opportunities to consider animal welfare, this really gets to the why we produce food the way that we do, which if you happen to be a person in agriculture listening to this, I would encourage you to think about how you can explain the why to people. So, for example, when you look at animal welfare, whether it's dairy cattle, whether it's chickens, whether it is hogs, some of the practices that we have look incredibly cruel. But in reality, they are to protect the animals. So, for example, when you look at removing teeth on pigs so they can't bite each other, when you look at filing down beaks on chickens so they can't peck each other to death, when you look at removing horns on cattle so they can't cause damage to the farmers and ranchers or each other, the context around animal welfare is something that I think we've not done a great job talking about. And typically what I find when I have these conversations explaining the why, people are okay with it because it does boil down to a safety issue. And animals can be incredibly cruel. A lot of folks don't realize that.
Absolutely. Another one, because sugar is really taking a beating these days in the press, but it was number 17. Sugar, salt, and moderation are a natural part of a planned diet. I know that you would probably agree that, and the research tends to suggest that we are, particularly kids, consuming way too much added sugar, but moderation is the key, right?
Absolutely. And throughout the book, I was very transparent as far as talking about my rather infamous sweet tooth and the what would be considered, quote, bad foods, unquote, and I would encourage us not to use that word, that my daughter and I consume, because food is at the center of our family traditions. And so whether we're at the county fair showing cattle or whether we're on vacation, you know, we have some traditions that center around food that probably isn't the most healthy. But we also counter that with exercise and moderation. And while we do not need to be consuming more sugar, I do think people have gone a little overboard in both sugar and salt because sodium is a natural preservative and sugar naturally occurs in fruits and that doesn't make it bad. It's just the fact that we're pouring in vast quantities of sugar and not countering that with exercise. The key statement in that particular food truth is moderation. And that's where a lot of folks are really lacking in the U.S. today.
My guest is Michelle Payne. She's the author of a new book. It's just out, Food Truths from Farm to Table, 25 Surprising Ways to Shop and Eat Without Guilt. Michelle, this interview always goes so quickly, but we'd be remiss if we didn't let folks out there know where they can get your book.
Absolutely. Well, you can get Food Truths from Farm to Table on Amazon. It was actually listed as the number one new release in January, so we were excited about that. You can also order signed copies on my website at Cause Matters, or you can pick it up at bookstores like Barnes & Noble, Target, and others.
Yeah, that website again is causematters.com. Michelle, after folks read the book, and again, your passion is science, your passion is communication, your passion is getting the food thing right. What do you hope that your readers take away from the book?
My hope is that people feel good about food. Again, food should be at the center of family celebrations. It is a basic necessity. It's sustenance. It's designed to power our bodies, not to make us feel guilty. So whether you're interested in sustainability or whether you are interested in chemicals or whether you are interested in just saving time in the grocery store, it's designed to give you permission to feel good about your food, because that's really what we should be doing. I mean, it's something that food obviously is a part of our daily life multiple times a day, so we might as well learn to enjoy it and to treat it with respect rather than feel guilty about it.
And again, I think, like you said earlier, it does build on No More Food Fights, Growing a Productive Farm and Food Conversation. People reading the book will, consumers will know a lot more about agriculture, what a wonderful industry it is, and how the great preponderance of agricultural producers want the same things the consumers want.
Absolutely. And, you know, I was so excited because I had 55-plus contributors from farmers and ranchers to dietitians and doctors and veterinarians and food scientists contribute their own story. So really what Food Truths from Farm to Table does is try to translate the science through story and to try to make it, again, a very approachable read and something where people, frankly, find common sense around the food plate.
Well, it's a great read. I'm about 20% through it. I'm going to finish it up. She is Michelle Payne. She is the founder and president of Cause Matters. And her new book out, Food Truths from Farm to Table, 25 Surprising Ways to Shop and Eat Without Guilt. It is the Prager Press. Again, Michelle, so proud of you as a Spartan and as a former student, your second book. Wonderful job, and best of luck with it.
Thank you, Kirk, and thanks for having me.